Stand by, Jerry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Jerry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Good morning, our guest, Jerry Howard, the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, right?
That's correct.
How you been? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Well, I've been great, and it's so great to be with you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
What is your background?
Well, I'm native Oregonian. I was born and raised in Cottage Grove, just south of Eugene, down there. Grew up there, and then after I graduated in 1961, I didn't have any money to go to college with my buddies and that, and I saw all the great ads for join the Air Force and see the world. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to get some training, I'm going to get some travel, a roof over my head, some food, some discipline, everything I need. And so I said, I do. And I then went to San Antonio, Texas, to Lackland Air Force Base, like all Air Force do, for basic training. Spent my 11 weeks in basic training in San Antonio. And then I went 80 miles north to Austin, and I stayed there for 5 years.
What's in Austin?
At that time, there was a Strategic Air Command base, Bergstrom Air Force Base, which had B-52s and KC-135s, and I was technically assigned to that base, but my actual workstation, I was on President Johnson's ranch, which is 60 miles west of Austin.
And what were you doing on his ranch, hanging out?
I was a gopher. Go for this, go for that. Not in Secret Service, not in anything like that. We just had a detail of about 15 people.
Really?
That did a lot of odd jobs.
And, did you see him a lot?
When he was home, we saw him all the time, yeah. But still, you know, people used to ask, did you sit down and chat with him? And no, we didn't.
No.
To us, it was a military installation, and everything was still dress right dress. And it was good morning, sir, and yes, sir. And
would he talk with you guys?
He would. He wouldn't chat with us, but he was very polite to us if we passed him or if he was instructing us to do something or that. And then, but we treated it as though we were talking to the general over on the Air Force Base.
Sure.
And, you know, it's all protocol.
Yeah.
And dress right
he was
dress.
A tall guy, wasn't he?
Very tall. He was very tall.
Yeah. Was he friendly? Was he nice?
He was very pleasant. You know, we didn't socialize, as you would say. But he was very pleasant to us, and he treated us very well and with respect.
So you were there for 5 years?
I was there for 5 years.
All right.
And we get back to the point of joining the Air Force and see the world. I got to see 80 miles of Texas. After I got out of the military, then I used my GI Bill and started going to school. It took me 11 years to graduate from the University of Oregon. I was a 61 graduate at Cottage Grove High School and a 72 University of Oregon because I was in baseball and I was umpiring professionally.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did that for many years and worked my way up through AAA, through Pacific Coast. Then they let me go. But anyway, I could only go to school half a year at a time or one term or this and that, but I finally made it. That was a great point. So then after I umpired. Then I went back to my alma mater at Cottage Grove, and I taught high school, and I coached football and baseball there. That was a lot of fun because I was teaching and coaching kids I grew up with. So something would happen in class, and I'd say, Amy, you're just like your mother. You know, everyone would say, how does he know your mother? They're both old. They used to date back in high school.
Let me ask you a question about umpires then. Yeah. They take a lot of ribbing and abuse and stuff out there. How much would you take before you finally say, you know what, you're out of here?
It really comes down if what they say is personal.
Do they do that? Do they get personal?
Well, they do. Because a lot of times managers will come out and they're just cussing and they don't make it personal at all. And I'll just remind them that you missed two words. And they'll say, I didn't miss any words. Yeah, you did. You missed you are. You're just out here talking, you know. And then if they say, well, let me start over. You are a da, 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 da. Then they're gone.
Does it end right there on the field? If you go into the locker room, will they still come back and start in on you?
For the most part, I would say 99%, it's over. The next day is a new day. You'll have an occasional one where they come to home plate. I've had it before the next day, and they want to continue it, and you actually throw them out at home plate during the pregame meeting. So, you know, but that is so minimal. They have a job to do to protect their players. They're trying to get any advantage they can, and so is the other side.
When they have a bench-clearing brawl, which two guys look at each other wrong, both benches clear. When they have that, it's really, there might be maybe one or two people actually slugging it out, and the rest are all just kind of pushing and shoving and stuff, and what's that all about?
Well, they have to protect their teammates.
Okay.
You know, the camaraderie that they have. Otherwise, if they sit on the bench and someone's out there, when they get back in the locker room, they're going to hear about it, that you didn't go out and help protect your buddy, your teammate out there.
But see, though, in something
it's a
like...
lot of, most of it's a show.
Okay. That's what I always thought. Yeah. Because in hockey, if the teams get into it on the ice, anybody comes over the fence into there to help, they're automatically ejected and stuff. It gets ugly.
And that would be the same in baseball.
Okay.
You can't have any fans or anyone jumping the fence
right,
trying to get involved in
Why
it.
Why do the bullpens need to clear? When those bullpens clear, by the time those guys get down to the home plate, they're exhausted.
You know? Well, the action's usually over, too.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to that camaraderie thing. You got to support your teammates. So if you think that the other side is picking on your teammate, you're going to go out there to support him.
When I watch baseball, every now and then, and you hear some of the announcers, and some of the announcers can be some real quacks there, but every now and then you'll hear the announcer say, well, that ball wasn't intentionally meant to hit that player. Or they'll come on and say, well, he was intentionally aiming for that player. Does that happen, Jerry? Do they actually intentionally try to hit a player with the ball?
Not as much nowadays as it was in the old days. Years and years ago, especially if someone hit a home run, and I never figured this out, the next guy got hit. And I think it was
no
just
reason
to back
why?
Him
it's
up.
Just...
It was just part of the game.
Yeah, but what about injuries, though? I mean, that guy's throwing that ball pretty fast.
Well, they are. They're throwing very hard. And usually, if the guy in front of you hit a couple home runs and that, you know when you go to the plate that the ball might be inside.
Mm.
And so you're sort of aware.
And that's just part of the game?
Just part of the game. That doesn't really happen nowadays. It does periodically, but it's not part of the game anymore like it used to be in the old days. It used to be automatic in the old days.
Wow.
You just knew that you were going to get hit.
Remember the Giants, Juan Marichal?
Oh, yes.
When he was up at bat and he turned around and he conked somebody on the head with a baseball bat. Was it Sandy Koufax that he hit on the head or somebody? I can't remember who it was.
I can't recall,
But, I mean, he hit him with the baseball bat on the head. And I thought, man, you try that nowadays, that's some serious injuries.
Well, it is, and it's not part of the game. The game has changed now where they play the game, I guess I would say, right now, where back in the old days, they were more combative.
Right.
Umpires were more combative back when I was working, too, that you would lash back at them if they lashed at you. And nowadays, the umpires are pretty more conservative. They'll stand there and listen. They'll be more polite. And again, it comes back to if the manager, the coach, the player makes it personal, then they probably get ejected.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, umpires go through a development camp right now. There's umpire development, and it's a big thing. They have a whole division in minor league baseball.
Really?
Several people work in that office, and evaluators go out and they see the minor league umpires all across the country 3 to 4 times a year. They've really cleaned up a lot of things in the last years, and you're getting a great job done by these young men. They're in the same boat as the players. They go to school at 20, 21 years old, and so the umpires normally in minor league are about the same age as the players, and they're trying to work their way up from rookie ball to A to the double A, triple A, and into the major leagues. They're in the same pattern that the players are, trying to work their way up.
These umpires, now they had one mic'd the other day that I was watching one. They were bleeping quite a bit of it from the...
That does happen.
From the manager was yelling at them. And the umpire was staying so cool, and he's looking at the manager, goes, you know you're looking like a fool right now. And he was just as calm as could be. And the other guy goes, am I really? He goes, yeah, you are. He goes, okay, then we're done. And he turned and walked away. And I thought, now you're talking.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's a whole different thing now than back in the late 60s, 70s when I umpired. It's changed a lot.
Yeah. Did you play baseball?
I played up through high school.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I graduated, I went in the Air Force. And when I got out of the Air Force, and when I got out of umpiring, then when I got let go from umpiring, I was still teaching and coaching at Cottage Grove Grove High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I went to McKenzie High School between Springfield and Bend, up on top of the McKenzie Pass. Taught and coached there. At the same time then, I scouted for the Blue Jays and scouted for the Chicago Cubs. I went out of Northern Oregon, Washington, and Northern Idaho, and then into Montana, and then eventually into Northern California.
So when you're scouting, Jerry, are you going to high schools? You going to college? What are you looking for?
Both. Amateur. Scouting all amateur players. So you have to get what's called coverage. You have to get to the high schools, get to the junior colleges, get to the four-year schools, see the players, see the, and then you start whittling down, you might say, to those that have possibility, maybe, of being drafted and getting into pro ball. And then you keep narrowing that down. If you have a school that doesn't have any prospects, you're not going to probably go back and see them again.
So when you go to a school, you identify yourself as a scout for the Chicago Cubs.
Yes.
And so now they're gonna start kissing your rear a little bit, so to speak, and they're gonna want to look good for this guy. Does the coach of the baseball team come up to you and say, hey, look, I want you to keep an eye out for, you know, this player here and this player here and this player here? Do they tell you who you should probably watch for, or do you just kind of sit there and figure it out on your own who you think you might want to scout further?
They'll tell you, and then they will also refer other players in their league or someone that they know. We also ask questions also. Do you have someone that you think is capable of playing professional baseball? And if they say, no, I don't have anyone this year that has that ability, then okay. Do you know of anyone in your league? Well, Sam Smith over here at McNary High School, I think you should probably take a good look at him. And so you get referrals like that. You have other people in baseball, longtime retired coaches, scouts, and that. They'll call you and say, have you seen so-and-so at Klamath Falls High School? So you get all kinds of referrals. There's a lot of travel. I would have to say, and people are really surprised when I say it, that if I take my playing days, my umpiring days, my coaching days, and my scouting days, scouting was probably at the bottom of my list. Because you're traveling 2, 3, 4 hours to get to somewhere, and you want to see Jimmy, and Jimmy gets to bat, and he walks. And then, so you sit around for 25 minutes till Jimmy comes to bat again. He may hit a ground ball, or he may walk again. If you're looking at him defensively, let's say he's playing shortstop, he may or may not get a play that day. The ball may not be hit to him. And then you got to drive another 3, 4 hours home.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing, if you're coaching, if you're umpiring, you're on the field, you're in the action, and you're part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that appealed to me more than the scouting.
So after you got done with scouting, where did you go?
Then I went to work, and I was still teaching at the time. Then I was down in California, and I wanted to come back home. And that's when I met Jerry Walker and his wife Lisa, who are the owners of the Volcanoes. And they happened to be going to winter meetings in Dallas, Texas. And Lisa had won the Rawlings 2005 Woman of the Year Award, and she was speaking down there in front of a few thousand people.
Now, were the Volcanoes already in
business? They were already in existence, yes, in Kaiser.
Okay.
I went to Dallas, Texas then to meet with the Walkers and to see about going to work for the Volcanoes and moving back home to Oregon, where my children and grandchildren were. And we had some great meetings, and it worked out, and they took a chance on me. So I came back January 5th of 2006. I started working for the Volcanoes.
So you've been with them for quite a few years.
Yeah, and so it's been a great run. They are extremely good to me. They give me a lot of latitude to do things. I try and reciprocate, and it's been a great run, and I love being with the Volcanoes and help promoting them and see if we can keep them very successful, as they have been for many years. This is our 22nd year out there. A lot of people don't realize that.
Did they always play at that stadium there?
Always at that stadium, yeah.
Okay.
They moved the franchise from Bellingham, Washington in 1997 and built Volcano Stadium. Been with the Giants the whole time,
mm-hmm.
plus 2 years up there. So that's 24 years with the same major league team. That's very, very rare, but it's been a great relationship.
We're going to take a short break. Our guest is Jerry Howard from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes.
The Whiz Kids had won it. Bobby Thompson had done it. And Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born. Marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball. Klazuski camp
Campanella talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey and the Duke.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
We are back on the Terry Saul Show. Today's special guest is my friend Jerry Howard from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. Jerry, I'm looking at this schedule. I mean, you guys are playing every single day for like a trazillion months. What's this all about?
Well, it's life in the minor leagues. The Volcanoes will play 76 games in 80 days.
Now, who comes up with that schedule?
Well, minor league baseball.
Really?
And the individual leagues. We're a member of the Northwest League.
Okay.
Which is 8 teams, the Eugene Emeralds and ourselves, and then we have the Hillsboro Hops in Oregon, 3 teams in Oregon. And then we have Boise Hawks over there. And then in Washington, we have the Spokane Indians, the Tri-City Dust Devils, and the Everett Aqua Sox, who we're playing at home right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's the last game with the Everett Aqua Sox. And then Volcanoes will go on the road early tomorrow morning to Tri-Cities for 5 days. And then we have Vancouver, British Columbia. So that's the 8 teams that make up the Northwest
League. That's a little bit of a drive from going from Vancouver back down here. And you guys do drive. You take a bus, right?
Yes, we bus. We don't fly anywhere. So we'll finish a game. A typical day when it's we're going to leave is the players will get to the stadium around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and they practice every day. People don't realize that. They go out and they work on drills, and they practice every day. Then they go in and eat around 4 o'clock, and then they come back out and play the game. The game will be over around 10 o'clock, 9:45, 10 o'clock. An hour later, they're on a bus going to Boise, an 8-hour trip. They get into Boise early morning, check into the hotel, get 5 hours sleep, and then they're at Boise's field ready to go that
night.
Wow. And so a lot of people don't realize what they go through. And like I said, they'll play 76 games in 80 days in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Vancouver, British Columbia.
Now, the reason that schedule, you told me this years ago that schedule, because I remember complaining to you once again about the schedule, and you said, well, it's to prepare them for the majors. If they get in there, you're constantly going. Is that the reason why it's so heavy?
It is. And everything from the Giants' point of view is player development. They're interesting in developing these young men that they just drafted and signed. One example would be we have this year's number one draft pick of the Giants, catcher Joey Bart, with several other draft picks. The goal is to get them ready to advance up the levels of franchises that the Giants have. If they went normal progression, which they don't have to, if they're good enough, they can skip levels. But if they went normal, they would go from here to Augusta, Georgia, and play in that league. And then they would go from there to San Jose in the California League.
Play with the old B Stadium.
Yeah.
Been there many times.
And then they would then go to Richmond, Virginia, which is our AA level.
Wow.
And then they would come back to Sacramento, California, which is our AAA level, and then into San Francisco if they make the big leagues.
So how long does it take someone to make the big league?
It depends on their ability and what openings there are. It all starts from the Giants. They select their team to open the season. If they lose, say, a second baseman for gets injured or something like that, then most likely it would be a AAA infielder that would go up.
Mm-hmm.
Then that creates an opening at the AAA level, and so possibly the AA level would go up.
Got
and
fill it.
So you have a domino effect.
Right.
If you're very good, if you're a number one draft pick like Joey Bart this year, who people should get out to Volcano Stadium and see Joey and the others before they do get promoted, it's going to take you 3 to 4 years. If you are middle of the road in ability in that, it could maybe take you 6, maybe 7 years.
So
some people have tried and they don't make it.
Right. How old are these kids? How old are the kids on your team, your Volcanoes? What's the average age?
The average age is probably 20, I would say. We have our college players who are either 20, 21, depending if they sign a contract after their junior year or a year older after their senior year. Our international kids can sign a contract at any age. So we get 16, 17, 18-year-olds from the Dominican Republic, from Venezuela, from other Central American countries.
So they're not local kids.
No.
You're getting kids from, where do they live? Do they have to come and set up housing? Do you guys put them up, or where do they stay when they're here?
We have a host family program that we're extremely proud of. Our host family coordinator is Judy Fromhers. They take these all these players in and treat them like they're summer sons, and it's just
nice.
A fantastic
nice.
Program. We rely on our host family program so much and very, very appreciative of what they do for us. It is the odds of someone getting in trouble is much, much, much less than if we put four or five of them in an apartment unit
right.
unsupervised.
Right.
Plus, they have the family atmosphere and the home cooking and all the bits.
They don't have time to get in trouble with the schedule you're giving them.
Yeah, they don't. Our host family program is extremely important to us, and we're always looking for host families. So if anyone in your listening audience might want to do that, they can call the Volcanoes. There's not a lot of requirements, and we'd be very happy to share that information with them.
All right. How many host families do you have?
Oh, we probably have, we got 34 players. Some of them take one or two. I'm guessing we probably got 18, 19 host families in that neighborhood. Some of them will take two. Some of them will take one.
You have 34 players. Is that normal? Is that what each team has, is 34?
In that neighborhood, the Giants continually send us some and promote some. And so we'll be in the 34 to 37 neighborhood most of the summer.
Are these players compensated in any way? Are they making any money, or how are they surviving?
They do. There's two types of money in baseball. There's apples and oranges. One's your draft signing bonus. That all depends on what round you go in, whether you're a position player or a pitcher. That could be several million dollars for the top picks.
Wow, for these kids?
Yes.
Wow.
And then the apples is your monthly salary. That goes by the league you're in, the level that you're at. Ballpark figures, they make about $1,200 a month in salary. So you have signing bonus, and you have monthly salary.
That's still good money.
It is.
Still good
Very
money.
Good.
Jerry, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about Volcano Stadium. You've had some great improvements over the years there, and let's talk about that. We'll take a break.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Congratulations to the latest winners from KSLM. Neil Glaze of Salem. Neil and a guest will be picked up in a beautiful white stretch limo and then taken for a special VIP dinner on board the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. Also, congratulations to Ashley Rogers on winning tickets to Wild Waves Amusement Park in Washington. Keep listening to KSLM for your chance to win big, only from Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Saturday and Sunday show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host and so glad that you joined us this morning, as our guest is from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, Jerry Howard. Jerry, we were talking a little bit about some of the money that these players can make, and some of them do make there. How do you make money? I don't mean you personally, but how do the Volcanoes make money?
Well, the Volcanoes and all other teams make money through what we call the revenue streams. One of them would be our corporate partners who purchased signage on our outfield walls. We also have group outings, companies, family picnics, church groups, anything like that, scouts, Boys and Girls Club, coming out as a group. And so we have group sales where we'll make some money on that.
As well as ticket sales?
As well as general ticket sales, season tickets. People purchase season tickets. They'll purchase a 5 or a 10 game plan. They may not want to see 38 games, which is our home schedule. We also have skyboxes that we sell to individuals and to to corporations. So they'll purchase a skybox suite upstairs, and they'll entertain their clients and that. We have a merchandise store where people can come in. They can buy hats and T-shirts and sweatshirts and that. So all of these are called revenue streams, and that's what we work on 365 days a year to bring income in. Also, we have outside events. We have RV shows. We have car shows. This Saturday, we have a company renting our park because our team will be in Tri-Cities. They want to have their company picnic and rent the whole park. If we relied on just Volcanoes games, we'd only be open 38 days a year. And that'd be like Safeway only open 38 days a year. We also have, besides the Volcanoes, we have outside events that will utilize Volcano Stadium. We can park 1,200 cars out there. We have, obviously, a field to do something on. We have concession stands, restrooms. We have a great playground. And so a lot of businesses will take advantage of that.
Now, I've driven by I-5 a few times during your off season, and I'll see baseball games going out there, like Little League or something like that. You're also available to some of these. How exciting for, you know, a 12, 13-year-old child to get out there on the big field and play.
We do. We have a high school spring tournaments out there, two big high school spring tournaments. This year, we were the home field for Corbin University. They played all their games there. Willamette University played there. Oregon State Beavers have come several years and played there. We host all the high school state championship games every year from 1A, 2A, 3A, up to 6A and that. And then in the fall, we have teams that utilize our stadium for fall ball. We're playing pretty much on the field, except maybe November, December, January, when it's a little bit wet.
Now, are you still working 7 days a week?
I am. I love it.
When was your last day off? You don't even remember,
do you? It's a little niche in life. You know, God's been so good to me, and he's kept me healthy, and I just love the game. This is my 65th year in baseball, which just means I'm old. That's all it means.
Considering you're only 59,
but
how do you do
the
that?
The Walker family treats me so well, and I'm so blessed. I just did a little niche in life, like I said, and I just love going to the stadium and being there.
Before we talk about some of the big folks that you've got coming in, you've had some players come through there that have made it into the some guy named Buster.
Buster Posey.
Yeah, and he's playing. He's the catcher for the Giants now.
He is indeed. This is our 22nd year. 21 years that we've been there. We've had 105 Volcanoes
really
make it all the way up to the big leagues. And we have a great, great poster that people can come and purchase of that. We also have a card set of every one of those who started as a Volcano and made it all the way to the big leagues. And that's an incredible set to own, and we have those available. And we've also had 13 former Volcanoes who started right here who have played in the World Series.
Oh, nice.
And they have a special coloring on that big collage of all the players.
Do you ever hear from any of those players?
We do indeed. We just had a reunion of the 1998 team here a week ago. They were our first league champions. So Ryan Vogelsong was back. He pitched for the Giants for a long time, pitched in a couple World Series. And Sarah, Tony Torcato, who made it up and played for the Giants, and several of their teammates. So they were just here. We've had some legends. We have a legend series this year. Jamie Moyer was here. He drew a lot of people out there. Tommy John from the famous Dodger, who, from the Tommy John surgery, named after him. He was here. That was tremendous. We have Don Larson coming up. Don always draws a great crowd. Don is the only person in baseball history to throw a perfect game in the World Series.
Oh, really?
He did that in 1956. He beat the Dodgers. No one ever did it before him, and no one has ever done it since him in 1956.
And when's he going to be here?
He'll be here August 11th, Saturday, August 11th. Sign free autographs, free pictures. People, they need to come see and meet Don Larson. He's getting up in age, so I'd make it a point of coming this year.
Now you're bringing somebody else in, too,
and
aren't you?
August 18th, we have a Hall of Famer coming, Gaylord Perry.
Who?
The famous pitcher. A lot of people thought he threw a spitball, and they might ask Gaylord, but I'm sure he'll probably deny that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, he did. Two great, great legends that will be here. And like I said, we just had Ryan Vogelsong here. So Jerry and Lisa are putting together a great legend series this summer.
Nice.
If you want to meet some famous people, you're going to meet them at Volcano Stadium.
My sister lived in San Jose and called me. She used to run an auto glass store, and she called me up one day and she says, go to the hardware store, or go to the sporting goods store, pick up a couple of baseballs and get down here. And I says, why? She goes, just do it. And so I said, okay. So I picked up about three or four of them, and my brother happened to be with me, and he's a big baseball fan. And we get down there, and Willie Mays was waiting. He's getting his window or windshield replaced. Nicest guy. And he just sat there, and he had nowhere to go, so we had him trapped. And we talked with him, and he signed a baseball. I still have the baseball in a little case in my house there.
Great.
Some of these guys are very nice, but then there's some the other side. Pete Rose is not the nicest guy in the world. Ran into him in Las Vegas, asked him for an autograph, and he told me it'd be $25. Keep it.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of these guys tend to just, I don't know. They're a little tough.
Yeah.
Are you guys, do you guys instruct them, hey, deal with the kids, sign the autographs, get your picture taken, or is that just up to them if they want to do it or not?
They're glad to do it. They're happy to do
sure.
it.
Sure.
In all the years I've been here and doing this and all the players that we've had who've come in, the Volcanoes are primarily made up of the Giants draft picks. The draft each year is like the first Tuesday in June. The Giants and all other 29 major league teams go out and draft 40 players each out of
wow.
high school and college.
Wow.
So roughly 1,200 players drafted each year.
And you don't know who your players are until like just a couple of days before,
right? A couple
right?
of days ahead of time.
Is that normal?
It is. That's very normal.
Yeah. Why?
Well, they're not sure. They draft them and they haven't signed them all yet. They're still in the process of negotiating and signing. They will, most of them, the vast majority, probably 97-98% of the Giants draft picks come to Volcano Stadium, and that we are the first team professionally that they play for.
Okay.
Buster Posey's first professional game that he caught was at Volcano Stadium.
Nice.
Tim Lincecum, first professional game he pitched was at Volcano Stadium.
Yeah.
Pablo Sandoval, Joe Panic. You could go on and on and on with these people. And so we get to see great, great players out here. Great opportunity for everyone in the greater Willamette Valley to get out and see this year's crop of players. Our number two draft pick is 6'11".
What?
Right-handed pitcher. Yeah, Sean Jelly out of the
How
University
did they get the
of
ball
Kentucky.
Over his head?
You know, he's a tremendous person. I love his attitude. Teammate gets a base hit, drives in a run, does something good. Sean's the first one out of the dugout to
really?
Congratulate them.
Yeah.
So we have great young men. They're just fantastic and want to come out, meet them, and because they're going to end up in the big leagues, and you can say you've met them and have their autograph.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about Volcano Stadium now. Every year, there seems to be some new event or new feature or improvement that you've done. Tell me about some of the different improvements over the stadium.
Well, Jerry and Lisa Walker have invested a ton of money into Volcano Stadium since 1997 when they first built it. You know, our big building down left field line, the Lava Lodge, our barbecue, beer garden area, social area,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't original. That was added on. We have two big video boards. Some people say Jumbotron. Video boards. We have a brand new.
Are those new?
Yeah, one is very new in left center field. It's huge. It does a lot of action, show movies on it, commercials on it. It's great. We have one in right field. They just built this last January just under 6,000 square foot hitting facility. Has four huge cages in
wow.
it.
Wow.
And when the Volcanoes aren't in town through the fall, winter, and that, we invite local Little League teams. Dad and his children can come individually and hit and throw. There's pitching machines. They can hit ground balls. They can work on their batting. And so that's tremendous. The Giants wanted a new weight room. We built a new weight room, a big building out there for them on that. We added some new, very beautiful, what we call four-top tables on the concourse. And those are a semi circle table with four great chairs. Very, very comfortable. They swivel on that right behind home plate. Great view. And businesses can purchase those, lease those for the year, and then put their advertising on the table. Many, many improvement. Brand new children's playgrounds. Incredible. It's down left field line. It used to be down right field, but that's where we built the new hitting facility. So a beautiful new playground down left field line. Has a lot of blow up, obstacle course, bounce house and that. And children just love it down there. So
when you come to the game, you might want to get there a little bit earlier so let the kids go have have some fun playing around and stuff before you watch the game.
Exactly. And it's down where the picnic tables are, and bring the whole family and kick back and have the kids having fun in the kids' zone and see a great professional game.
How many seats does Volcano Stadium hold?
About 4,200. We can put about, with our outfield general admission area, put about 5,600 in the ballpark.
Who's the crazy guy up on the roof that throws out T-shirts or something? Who is that crazy guy?
Weird. He comes in there. He's called Roof Man.
Yeah.
He flies in. And
friend of yours?
I don't want anything to do with him. He's weird, but the kids love him.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come back with our final few moments with Jerry Howard from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes.
Check it out, Terry Saul and the Macho Man Randy Savage. Tag team partners for life. Nobody can beat us.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to our final few moments this morning. Our guest has been Jerry Howard from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. And, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking over some of the different events that you have, Jerry. And every single night, we're talking Senior Day. We're talking Monday Night Kids. Tell me about some of these different events you have each day of the week.
Well, we try and have a different theme that we feature each day of the week. And they've become very, very popular. They say on Sundays, you mentioned their Senior Days. Seniors can get $5 off their ticket on Sundays. We start that game a little bit easier, which is nice for seniors. We're game time at 5:05 on Sundays, where game time is 6:35 Monday through Saturday.
Before you go to that, what is the ticket price?
Well, tickets will start at $8 if they purchase in advance.
That's
it? That's it. Yeah,
try to go to a concert for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
In the general admission area. And then they can go all the way up to $30 a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to sit upstairs in a beautiful skybox suite with Jerry and Lisa Walker, it overlooks the field and has the opportunity to purchase food. It's air conditioned, so it's great. So basically 8 to 30, you can be right down on the field, to the dugout in the field, what we call lower level box seat, for $20. On Friday and Saturdays, our premium nights are $2 more, because we bring in these legends and different events. Costs us some more money. So
now, when you bring in a legend like Gaylord Perry, what does he do? Does he just walk around and sign autographs, or do you have a special ceremony?
He'll start signing autographs right when we open the gates at 5:30.
Okay.
And they sign up through the third or fourth inning. They are all so great. They're willing to sign until the last person's got their signature. They sign forever.
All right, Monday nights.
Monday nights is great for young kids. If they're 12 and under, the parents can email the owner, Jerry Walker, at the initial J, Walker, at volcanosbaseball.com, and request a free voucher. And Jerry will send a voucher to their home, and they can print off as many vouchers as they want for their 12 and under kids and their friends.
Nice.
And that. And
nice.
They bring it and trade it for a ticket. So 12 and under gets in free on Monday nights.
All right. Now, Tuesday nights, I really like this idea.
Yeah. Here. Tuesday is brand new. They came up with it this year, the Walker family. And it's going to be $5 off for people who have military ID.
You guys are real big on military, aren't you?
We are.
Nice.
Indeed. From the 4th of July and other events.
Right.
So military gets $5 off on Tuesday, up to 4 individuals. And so a family of 4 can save $20 by coming out and enjoying a great ball game with their military ID. On Wednesdays, we have Wednesday Wellness, and that's any one that's in the medical field, dental field, fields similar to that, wellness. And again, with their ID, they can get $5 off.
Well, you guys are covering just about everybody, aren't you?
We're trying to.
I don't see disc jockey night on here, though.
Yeah, that's coming.
Right.
On Thursday, we call it Throwback Night, and it's a power hour. We open the gates at 5:30, so from 5:30 to 6:30, you can get dollar hot dogs, and you can also get $3 beers for that 1 hour.
Okay.
And Friday, we have fireworks, except for this last weekend, because of the dry weather and the humidity and the hot.
Sure.
Fire marshal canceled about our fireworks. Saturday is our Legends Night and Giveaway Night, San Francisco Giveaway Night, and we've given away lapel pins and baseballs, San Francisco blankets, etc. things. So it's a giveaway night.
Wow.
So we have something every night that we promote, and it's been great, and love for people to take advantage of any of those categories.
Your games are broadcast on KBZY each and every game, even the away games too?
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Wes Tucker is our broadcaster, our announcer.
Where's he from? I don't remember him.
He's a student out in Western Oregon. Does a tremendous job. Very exciting to listen to.
Right.
Has a lot of energy. And we do broadcast all home and away games.
Okay. Now, if people want more information about tickets and stuff, they can contact the Volcanoes ticket office. What's the number there, Jerry?
It's 503-390-2225. 390-2225.
And, of course, you have a website?
We do, volcanoesbaseball.com.
Stayed up all night thinking that, didn't you? All right. If the final 3.5 minutes or so, Jerry, talk a little about what's the future of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes? Where do you want to see them go, and where do you think they're going to go?
Well, I think the future is very, very bright. The franchise has been very successful. We truly feel that we are a great corporate partner of the Willamette Valley. We try and give back. We have our mascot, Crater, who's available to go out and visit different organizations and that. They can contact the Volcanoes and set that up. We try and give back to our military. We have our tremendous 4th of July patriotic tribute every year. We try and give back in other ways where we make our stadium available to high schools, to little leagues, to colleges, to RV shows and car shows. We want to be involved in the community, and we would like for the community to be involved with us, to come out and see these tremendous young men who have great, great talent. We have players on our team right now who will play in the big leagues, who definitely will play in the big leagues. And now's the time to see them. Get their rookie card. They all have their player cards right now. You can come
even
out.
Even at this level, they have their player cards?
They do.
Really?
They do. And you come out and you get their rookie cards, and then you can get their autograph on that rookie card.
Oh,
and you
nice.
Have something very valuable. We try and have great entertainment. Our motto is to entertain people. Good, clean-cut, wholesome family entertainment. It's family fun, well done. That's what we like say out there. Family fun, well done. So we invite people to come out. Even if you just come to one game, come to one game, come to two. You don't have
you
to
get
come
hooked.
To, you do it, well, you will. But we don't expect you to come to 38 games.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen anymore for a lot of people. But it is fun because you choose a movie to take your family to. You go to the beach. You go to a concert and that. Bring your family to a Volcanoes game. You're going to have a great time. You're going to be entertained, and you're going to see some tremendous young men who can play the game of baseball.
It's nothing like sitting in a stadium there, watching a baseball game, having a hot dog, whatever beverage you want to have. It's a nice, cool evening. Just enjoy it. It's just enjoying it. I always like the night ones when those lights come on, and then you just get that feeling, man, I'm at a baseball game.
You do.
Life
Everyone thinks
better.
It's so hot now, Terry, but I'll tell you, by the third inning, we really cool off and we get the great wind out there. And some people even put on a little light sweater, believe it or not. But it's not that hot at Volcano Stadium except for the action.
There you go. There, oh, good. I like that, Jerry. Well, our guest has been Jerry Howard from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. Again, if you'd like to get in contact with Jerry, you can call 503-390-2225. That's 503-390-2225. Jerry, always a pleasure, my friend. Will you come back and let's do this again?
I will. And right. Thank you so very much. And thank the radio station here for inviting us. We are truly appreciative.
All right. Thank you. Jerry Howard from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. That's going to wrap up this week's edition of the Terry Saul Show. We'll be back next week. Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. I am so glad to be back on the air, and especially here at Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Now, the incredible management team here at KSLM has given me the green light to not only air my show on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., but now, in case you missed it, you can tune in to Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for an encore broadcast. Now, if you miss both of them, I invite you to go to my website, www.terrysaul.com, and check out my podcast to listen to any or all of my past shows. Now, if you do that, well, I think you've got too much time on your hands. I have a lot of fun and exciting guests in the upcoming weeks, and we may just take this show with us on the road. So join us weekends for the Terry Saul Show, only on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM.
The Whiz Kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella. Talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller. The scooter, the barber, and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.